I've got a message on my heart for Pentecost Sunday today, and there's a whole lot of folks coming in from different backgrounds that need to understand the Holy Spirit, and we appreciate this morning's message on the fire. But I want you to turn with me, John 3:8. There's another symbol of the Holy Spirit that I want to talk about tonight, and that is the wind. The wind blows where it wants to, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from where it comes from and where it's going. Here's Jesus. He's talking to Nicodemus, okay? And here is the verse that the conversation's going on. Jesus is talking to the ruler of the Jews who came to him by night. So he was a seeker. He was a God-fearing man, a man of God, Yahweh, but he hadn't understood everything about Jesus. And so he goes to Jesus by night asking questions about the kingdom, and Jesus takes time. How many glad Jesus cares about us individually? I mean, Jesus speaks to the woman at the well. He speaks to Zacchaeus in the tree. He speaks to Nicodemus at night. He does a lot of one-on-one speaking. And we know that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that witness. It was the last point this morning, the fire of God, so we can be a witness to share the love of Jesus and the gospel with other people. So Jesus said, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom. Nicodemus didn't understand the whole concept. Jesus goes into explaining that flesh produces flesh. He was talking about human birth that was born of the water and is human birth, but that was just born of the Spirit is a new birth in the realm of the Holy Spirit. And so in case you're confused, nobody comes to Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws them. All of us were wooed and drawn and called poked along the way by the Holy Spirit to come into the kingdom of God. The number one job description for the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, is to lift up Jesus. Amen? And don't you think that ought to be a job description for the church? So if the church is full of the Holy Spirit, then a functioning church, the way the Lord's would like us to be, would be one who is lifting up the name of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit does. So he speaks about that. Then he adds the words in verse 8 that we just read, the wind blows wherever it pleases. He says you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So is it for everyone who's born of the Spirit. So there's two words that we need to pay attention to here, and that is the word wind and the word spirit. This morning, Pastor Stan used the fire as a symbolism of the Holy Spirit, and here now, Jesus is using wind to symbolize the Holy Spirit. He's talking about breath. There's two words in English that in Greek, they come from the same one word, pneuma. Pneuma. You heard the word pneuma before. Pneumatic, right? Which is an air-powered drill. Pneumatic drill. Or pneumonia, right? A disease of the lungs. Breathing disease, right? So you get the words from this Greek word. You get two words. You get the word breath or wind or spirit. In the Hebrew, it's ruach. You know, you got to make that like, you know, hocking a loogie or something, right? And so in the same word, though, has two meanings or the same meaning. It's just used for the Holy Spirit to describe. And Jesus is giving a point to Nicodemus. The Holy Spirit has been drawing him to the kingdom. And I believe this. I believe tonight that some of you may be here and you just started or you just started coming or maybe it's your first time. I believe the Holy Spirit's drawing you into the kingdom. And I'm thankful for people who are willing to witness. Aren't you glad? You never know where you're going to sow seed. You never know how the Holy Spirit's going to use you to plant seeds in the life of somebody else. Last week, I was telling Brooke and Steve's church that when I first got saved, you know, I was excited. I'm not as excited as I used to be. Can you imagine? My goodness, I'd be jumping from the chandeliers. But I was so excited to tell the story that God changed my life. And I would tell everybody, I worked for Frito-Lay, and I'd go on the route, and I'd put chips out in other stores, Walmart, and all these. I even had this little snowball stand that I would witness to. And I stopped every Tuesday and every Thursday to Roy's Snowball Stand. How many know what a snowball is? Snow cone, does that help you? We had one yesterday, right? It's just ice, shaved ice. Okay, so anyway, that was big down in humidity-filled Louisiana. Everybody's got something cool, right? And so I'd stop at Roy's place, and I witnessed to Roy about Jesus for a year. And he would just seem so hungry. The Lord was calling him and drawing him. And then, lo and behold, one day I pulled up. Roy comes out, his African-American brother, bald-headed, shiny head. And he comes out. He said, "Brother Ron, you wouldn't believe what happened to me today." I said, "What, Roy?" He said, "The Pepsi man came by and led me to Jesus." And I want to tell you, I wish I was excited about it. But I thought to myself, I did all the work and the Pepsi man gets the credit. How many know it doesn't matter who led him? How many know the Holy Spirit was leading him all the way? And Roy and his wife Treasure came into our church, blessed our church. But my point is, the wind is blowing all over the world. The Holy Spirit is moving. Does anybody believe that? And you know, we could go in different places of the world. Like when we went to India, it was obvious that God was moving in the hunger of the people. This morning in the altar, Melissa and I were blessed. We commented at lunch how powerful it was to have a church that's hungry for the move of the Spirit. The whole congregation was in the altar this morning, seeking the Lord and praising the Lord and looking for the Lord to move by His Spirit. And so it's exciting to me, you know, to know that the Holy Spirit's wind is blowing in this place. And so I just want to share quickly. Can I have a video? It's only 4 minutes at the end of this. I want to share with you because I think our church in America is at a strategic place. We're losing. People are losing emphasis on the power of the Holy Spirit, the necessity of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's almost as though it is an outdated idea. But how many know the New Testament church is still alive and well? And you can experience that in greater ways around the world. In India, my goodness, the presence of the Lord was there. And if anybody here has ever been in a Spirit-filled service where you could not deny His presence, would you lift up your hand? Let me see if you've ever been. Okay, so we couldn't wait till Sunday night church. A lot of times people came to Sunday night services with a great expectation that God was going to move. And they weren't in a hurry like Sunday morning. They lingered in the altars and the Holy Spirit met us in powerful ways and great things were done. So the wind of the Spirit is what I want to tell you. It's Jesus is saying by the very nature, wind is invisible and it's unpredictable. It's invisible and it's unpredictable. And because it's invisible, sometimes we can't wrap our mind around it. But the wind that blows today may blow from the north. Tomorrow it may blow from the south. The point is, you cannot control the wind. And Pastor Stan mentioned it this morning. The reason some pastors and churches are not free or feeling secure to let the Holy Spirit move is because they don't have control. That's the very point. You cannot control the Holy Spirit. He's either in control or He's not, right? And so you never know where it's going to come from. It's unpredictable and it's invisible. And so we feel the effects of it. We hear the whistling through the leaves. The wind itself is totally free from man's control. So it does exist. Everywhere you go on this planet, you can feel the wind. And God has given us the wind of the Holy Spirit as a parallel. It's always in motion, continually in motion, and it may be experienced in varying degrees, from a slight breeze to a mighty rushing wind to a tornado that causes all kinds of destruction, right? It's wind. And you can try to debate about it. You can try to control it, but you'll never be able. Have you ever tried to capture the wind? I mean, maybe as kids, I'd put my hand out the door going down the highway, and just the wind would blow it, and I'd pull it back and blow it and pull it back and try sometimes get a cup and capture. Okay, we were poor, so we had to make up fun games. Y'all too rich to know what I'm talking about. But the Holy Spirit work is universal. It's not limited to one region or country or race or humanity. How many know He is no respecter of persons? And He blows, and the wind blows where it wants to. You hear the sound, but you can't understand where it's coming from. Even so, the Holy Spirit's work is universal and unpredictable, and nobody for certain can tell where the Spirit will blow in a great power today or tomorrow or when, and the wind is beyond our control. In the same way, no one can control the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, we had some pretty powerful revivals down through the years, and Pensacola was a powerful revival. But you had some pastors that went over there and visited, and God met them. They come back to their churches and try to manipulate or duplicate. How many know you can't manipulate the Holy Spirit? You cannot control Him. He is unique, and He has got a purpose and a plan for every church. So the wind is blowing again. Can you say amen? He's leaving His footprint everywhere, this invisible, unpredictable, uncontrollable manifestation of the Spirit. The same is true. He's sovereign. He is not going to be taken captive by anybody. And He comes as He wills, and He manifests Himself in different ways. And as Nicodemus was being demonstrated, no one can predict when He will invade a human heart, but we know He draws all people to Jesus. That's a serious point, because at salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in you. At the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, He would come upon people. But at the baptism, He comes in you fully. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in you. That's why you hear the Scripture say, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the living God, and that He is dwelling inside of you?" God wanted to be so close to us, right? In the garden, it was perfect. There was nothing to keep man from being with God in the cool of the day, but then man disobeyed and sin separated. I thought Stan preached a powerful message on conviction and sin, and I believe it's sin that's causing people to be away from God. Foolish decisions, and churches are making foolish decisions. And even if they're not getting the revelation from the Holy Spirit or the Word of God, they're going off and chasing all kinds of ideas and philosophies and leaving them empty and void. So the Holy Spirit is here to help us, and He responds to us by pulling us in. Maybe some people come in after one invitation. Sometimes you talk to people over and over again, and they never respond for a while. But the answer is, in part, you cannot manipulate the Holy Spirit. The wind blows where it listeth. How many has ever heard of Mark Batterson? Mark Batterson's a great author, and he's got this book, one of my favorites that he wrote, called The Wild Goose Chase. And he's talking about the Celtic Christians back in the day. They had a name for the Holy Spirit that was always incredible. He said they called Him Angihad Glas, or the Wild Goose. He says it this way, and I'll read it because I thought it was excerpt from the book. I love the imagery and the implications. The name hints at the mysterious nature of the Holy Spirit. Much like a wild goose, the Spirit of God cannot be tracked down or tamed. An element of danger and an air of unpredictability surround Him. And while the name may sound a little sacrilegious at first, he says, the wild goose, he said, I cannot think of a better description of what it's like to pursue the Spirit's leading through life than a wild goose chase. And he says, like the Celtic Christians, we're on to something that is institutionalized Christianity has missed out on. In other words, the church has missed out on the beautiful, powerful Holy Spirit. And I wonder if we have clipped the wings of the wild goose and settled for something less than what God originally intended for us. If you think about an image, if you take the Holy Spirit, the dove, which is an image, a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and clip the wing of the dove, that's the detrimental place that the church is in today. The Holy Spirit has been clipped. And I understand that it refers to the wild goose also, he says, refers to a purposeless endeavor without a defined destination. In other words, trying to chase a wild goose is a lost cause. You're never going to chase. It's like a oiled slick pig. You're never going to catch that either, right? But the promptings of the Holy Spirit, he says, can sometimes seem pretty pointless. But rest assured, God is working out His plan. If you chase the wild goose, He will take you places you never could imagine going and paths you never knew existed. How many know it's like following God is like an adventure when you allow the Holy Spirit to come in? But if you try to control the Holy Spirit, you're going to go places that your flesh has destined. The Holy Spirit comes in so we can do the will of God. We don't control the Holy Spirit so God can do our will. The Holy Spirit controls us so we do God's will. Is everybody clear? That's what he's saying here, and I think it's powerful. And we want to know in life, we want to know where we're going. I mean, we want to have some confidence. And there's nothing wrong with strategy. It's good to have a plan. But I think our culture today has strategically strategized their way out of the presence of the Lord. They're making plans, and they're building, doing this and doing that, having this program and that program. But how many know we need the strategies and the Spirit? We need both and. You have some people have no strategy at all. They have no vision at all. They just say, the Holy Spirit's going to take care of everything. How many know he moves, we work. So when he moves, we do his will. We do the work. We go out and witness. We go out and build. We go out and share Jesus and have strategies and plans to bring people into the kingdom. And you can't do that without him. Actually, you can't do nothing without him. Amen? So you cannot manipulate the Holy Spirit to do your will. It's the unction of the Holy Spirit to do God's will. So the wind filled the house. Tongues of fire came upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Spirit, and they all began to speak other languages. Now, some people have told us that that's outdated. That was only for the apostles then, and there's no need for supernatural manifestations today. It's amazing because a lot of people who believe this today are selling a lie. It's a lie. How many know we need the Holy Spirit today more than we've ever needed him before? But some denominations, whole denominations, deny the existence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Say it's going away with the apostles. Yet they have said it's okay for their missionaries. Listen to this. They can allow their missionaries to receive the Holy Spirit because they're going into dark places where they need extra supernatural power. And I say, make up your mind. How many know if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander? The Holy Spirit's good for all of us. It's a gift for all of us. So there has to be a release in our life to submit to the power of the Holy Spirit so he can fill us and change us.